Okay. We've all been through things in our lives. We've all been through good things. We've all been through horrible things. And I guess it's kind of human nature that when something bad happens, whether it's the loss of a job or someone we love or any kind of thing like that, I think it's kind of natural for us to just kind of shrink back for a while, to feel discouraged. Where's God? Where is God in all of this? It's just a natural thing that we go through. And it's not just us. It's been that way throughout history. But God has not deserted us, and He never will. The solution lies within us, really. I don't think any one of us likes to be depressed or discouraged or downcast over anything. But sometimes that's the way it is. I know my youngest son, who still lives with us, for a number of years suffered from depression. Really bad depression. He was always moody, down, hard to talk to. He didn't get involved in any bad things or anything, but just he was far from leading a normal life. And then finally he saw a doctor through it and started taking some medication and everything, and it's been a dramatic change in him. The only unfortunate thing is he doesn't know the Lord yet. That would have been the biggest help, of course, but at least he's much better. But he had to do something. He had to make up his mind. He had to choose that he didn't want to be this way anymore. And it's the same way with us. When something happens, I know when my wife, first wife, passed away, I was really down. I mean, it was a disaster for me. And I had people from the church that we had been attending, reach out to us and help us, and they provided some meals and house cleaning and, I mean, you name it. And then, of course, I had Mary reaching out to me, because when her husband had left her for another woman, my wife had reached out to her, and she was kind of returning the favor, so to speak. And that was a great comfort to me, just having somebody reaching out to me. But I still had to make the decision, what am I going to do? Am I going to just, you know, wallow in my, I don't know, discouragement and frustration and loss and everything? Or was I going to respond to those who reached out to me? So it's a choice that we all face at one time or another in our lives, because none of us are immune from any of these things that are happening. We all suffer something at one time or another. And I thank God that we have each other to help, but we still have to respond. And you can put the scripture up, Donna. Same thing happened to the disciples. Jesus was crucified. He died after his resurrection. How do you think the disciples felt? Jesus is gone. Even though with prior to this scripture, he had appeared to them twice. In the upper room, when Thomas wasn't there, Jesus showed them his side and his hand. And then later on, he appeared with Thomas. Remember doubting Thomas? Okay, so those two times he had already appeared to them. So they knew he was alive. But even so, he was gone physically. He wasn't going to be with them anymore. And after spending 3 years with him, seeing all the miracles and the hope that was in them, that he's the Messiah, can you imagine how they felt? Lost? You know, just, he's gone. What are we going to do now? Well, we see what one of them did. So after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. I got nothing better to do. You know, Jesus isn't here anymore. You know, I don't know what to do. I don't know, you know, I'm lost. I might as well go back to what I was doing before he called me. I'm going fishing. And they said to him, well, we're going with you also. Yeah. Well, if somebody's going to slide back into the old ways, might as well make a group effort of it, right? They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. See, that's when you're trying to do something on your own, without God's leading, without his blessing, nothing. You're not going to succeed at all. This is not exactly what he wanted them to do, but they did it anyway. They went fishing. And as a result, they caught nothing because they weren't doing it in accordance with his will. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? And they answered, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. So now they were in obedience to the Lord because he said, cast the net on the other side of the boat, and look what happened. Wonderful, right? There's more. You got it? Oh, okay. You're ahead of me this time. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. The light finally dawned. It's him. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. That's just like Peter. He's the guy that just, you know, takes off without thinking. He's, well, you know, that's the way he was. And that's okay. That was his personality. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, or about a football field away, dragging the net with fish. Yes, there are always some practical people along with the ones who are just spontaneous and, you know, don't care. They brought the fish in. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. Now this is the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Like I had told you about the two previous times. They had suffered loss. Jesus was gone. They felt left alone. Even though he had told them, even before his death, that there would come a helper, the Holy Spirit, that he was going to send them out into the world. But yet, as humans, their emotions were strong in this particular case. They had felt abandoned, perhaps, certainly discouraged. The Jewish authorities who were against Jesus and who had had him crucified didn't like them either. They were afraid that they were going to be next. Put yourself in their place. It's just natural, right? To be discouraged. To maybe just want to go back to your previous life. What else is there to do, right? Your leader's gone. But that was not the plan. They needed purpose in their lives. They needed something. They needed an encounter with God again. Even though he had appeared to them twice before. Okay. It was just to show himself that he was alive. But here he performed a miracle for them. Showed them where to catch the fish. A tremendous haul like they had never had before. They were surprised the net didn't break. And then they come, and then there's already a fire with coals and fish on it, and a meal prepared and everything. They needed that encounter with him. And that's what I was perhaps subtly getting at earlier when I said it's within us. It's up to us to get out of that discouragement or whatever when something bad happens to us. We need an encounter with God, but we need to open ourselves up to him, to be willing to be touched by him, to see him perhaps in a new way, and to have it reaffirmed to us that he loves us beyond measure, and that he is there for us and is going to always be there for us. And that's what they needed. That's what they needed. Everything changed after this. Yes, they saw him a number of times after that, because before his ascension, or let me put it this way, the time between his resurrection and his ascension into heaven was 40 days. Not that he appeared to them every single one of those 40 days, but he did appear to them a number of times, and a lot of disciples saw him. They needed that. They needed that reassurance. They needed to see him and to be assured of his love and that things were going to be different. Even though he was going to no longer be with them physically, they would still have God's presence through the Holy Spirit with them. And that made all the difference in the world. But they needed an encounter with him. And that's the same way it is with all of us. When we experience something, whether it's through a friend, whether it's through a neighbor, whether it's through a brother or sister in the Lord, or whether it's divine, we need an encounter with God. You know, we can share words with one another. We can share encouragement and blessing. But it still must be born of God. It must be God speaking through us or reaching out through us. Or we, perhaps in our prayer time, crying out to him because of the situation that we're in. And he speaks to us, and we just sense his presence so warmly and graciously, and we can feel his arms wrapped around us. We need that. But we need to be open to that. Our attitude is so very important. If we're angry because something happened to us, if we're resentful or bitter about something that happened to us, God is saying, in effect, I can't help you until you change your attitude. I can't. He wants us to be totally open to Him, but coming to Him knowing that He loves us and that He is not causing us harm. He is not deliberately doing anything to us to cause us pain or sorrow. These things happen because we're in a fallen world. But He wants us to know that we love Him. And it takes something like that. It does. When I lost my wife, I had others from our church family reaching out to us. I knew I was loved. I still felt lost. My best friend at that time was gone. But God comforted me through others, and eventually through Mary, and blessed me. But it would have been totally different if I was angry or bitter. It would have been totally different. But God ministered His grace to me because I didn't blame Him for anything. And I'm not saying that to make me sound good or anything. I just recognized that it happened. That was her time. Nothing I could do about it. And I remember that one of the people from church gave me this scripture from Jeremiah, "For I know the plans that I have for you." You know, plans to give you a future and a hope. And I had it on the refrigerator, and I used to read that all the time. And that was a meaningful scripture to me. But as long as I kept God in my life, things began to change. And that was the problem they had initially. I'm going fishing. The heck with all of this, you know? They left God in a sense, but He called them back. And everything changed because of that. And they saw Him. And He touched them, and there was reconciliation. And it was right after this, as a matter of fact, where we had the episode where Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" He said, "Yes, I love you." Three times He asked Peter that. And that was, you know, a lot of scholars think that was to compensate for the three times that he denied Jesus before Jesus was crucified. And Peter was restored. There's always restoration available. But we have to want it. We have to accept it. And we must never lose our faith in God. Allow Him to just keep ministering to us and touching us and blessing us. So, things are going to happen in this world. It's all in how we handle it. And keep holding on to God and resting under the shadow of His wings. And we'll make it. We will. And we have each other to help. We have the Holy Spirit. We have nothing to fear, no matter what's going on in the world. That's so important. Just keeping our faith in God and looking for Him and maintaining purpose in our lives. That was the thing that was missing in their life. After Jesus was crucified, they lost purpose. They needed to have that restored. And no matter what any one of you are going through or may go through in the future, God still has a purpose for your life. And that never changes. If he has singled out each and every one of you for something, whether it's something relatively minor or whether it's something much bigger, it doesn't matter. He has each one of you singled out for something. And that purpose is never going to change. Never. And just like that second video said, you raise me up. But you need to let him. That's his desire, to raise you up to more than you can be by yourself. So that purpose for your life is fulfilled. God loves you so very much. And it's going to be a glorious time in the future as we see his plan for each one of us unfold. Better days are ahead in spite of what's going on in the world. Better days are ahead. And we'll see that. And certainly when we get into eternity, those are the best days of all. But so keep hanging on to him. Maintain that purpose in your life. Don't ever let go of him, because he will never let go of you. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your faithfulness, for your compassion and comfort that you bring. And we know, Lord, that this world is full of trouble. But yet, Lord, you are ever faithful. You will never let go of us. Just help us to always maintain the right attitude and to maintain that purpose in our lives. To grab hold of that for which you have grabbed hold of us. Just as Paul put it in one of his letters. He's always reaching forth, striving for that goal of whatever it is that you have called us to do. Every single job, every single calling is vital to the kingdom. Everything. Everything. And we must never look down upon anything that the Lord calls us to do. Because if he wants us to do it, it's important, no matter what it is. To help us, Lord, to maintain our purpose in life. And to be receptive to others reaching out to us, receptive to your ministering to us in times of difficulty. You know what we need, Lord. We are only human, but yet we are still very precious in your sight. Father, we give you all the praise, honor, and glory. There's no one like you at all. Thank you so much for being in our lives and for saving us and for showing us that there is more to life, Lord, than just eating and drinking and working and whatever. There is that abundant life that you want for us. Help us to see that, Lord, and to live that kind of life. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.